Mosiah chapter 25. In verses 1 through 7, Mosiah has the two records that we have just been studying read to the people. Now, at this time, we learn the composition of the people, and they're approximately this way, that there was only 13% Nephites, or original descendants of Nephi, in the land. And then there was 17% Mulekites, which were the other people that were brought out of Jerusalem around its destruction, and 70% were Lamanites. And again, we'll always continue to see that the numbers who continue to follow the Lord will be few in comparison to the world, and they'll always begin to be fewer and fewer. Well, after hearing of these records, we learn of some of the righteousness of the people, because in verse 10 we learn that they thanked God that that their brethren had been delivered, and for the many mercies and wonderful things that the Lord had showed them in their deliverance. In verse 11, we see that it pained them when they saw the sinfulness and polluted state of the Lamanites, and that they really worried about the welfare of their souls. Now, what's important about this, again, is they did not become angry and want to take revenge upon the Lamanites for what the Lamanites had done. Their eye, again, was over to the Lord, and that was what was important, and that was sad that to them it saddened them that the Lamanites' eye was not to the Lord. We also learn in verses 12 and 13 that the children of Amulon and the other high priests of Noah had actually came with the Nephites, and that they had rebelled against their parents because they knew of their wickedness. And the interesting thing here is that about this is that we have to remember that, see, Amulon had accused Alma and their people of being traitors. See, that's how he had gained control. See, he claimed that now that Noah was dead, he was really the ruler of these people, and that's how he got the Lamanites to accept him as their as the new ruler. And then when he knew that Alma had been one of the other priests, and so therefore he called him a traitor and had led these people away. So see, he had all these terrible things he said about him, and now his own children has done exactly what he's accused them of, which means that Amulon and his brethren had to live out their lives in the knowledge of their hypocrisy, or that everyone saw their wickedness and turned against them. And so what I'm saying is that they had to live out their days in loneliness. Well, in verse 14, Mosiah tells Alma to preach to the people. And the important thing here is to note that there was no contention over authority here. Mosiah had been the teacher to the people, had been the king and their teacher. And he didn't have any contention over who should have the authority or what. All they did is just ask the Spirit, because again, their pride and their positions had no meaning to them. All they wanted to do was serve the Lord. And if the Lord wanted Mosiah to serve him, or he wanted Alma to serve him in whatever capacity, that didn't have any meaning to them. They were just serving the Lord. And so therefore, in verse 15, we see that Alma goes out and he preaches to different large bodies, because their people are so numerous that he can't preach to them all at once. We'd already seen that under King Benjamin. And so what does he preach? He preaches faith and repentance. But now we have to ask ourselves, again, what was this repentance? He was teaching the people there to repent. And we'll see that more specifically when he talks to the people of Limhi. But he tells them to repent. And now here they are. They've shown their thanks to God. They have they've had good feelings towards the Lamanites. In a sense, we could see how today people would rejoice and they'd begin to puff themselves up and say, well, see, we're righteous. See, we have the right feelings. We know we're doing good. And they'd start praising themselves for how good they're doing. But no, immediately, Alma goes out and preaches repentance to them, because we all want to, when you're truly repentant, you want to continue to learn how to continue to repent, because each new strength you get in your character, you see what else needs to be strengthened, and you know that you're not perfect yet, and because you've now strengthened yourself a little bit, you have now drawn closer to Christ, and you're desirous to continue to strengthen yourself so that you may get even closer to Christ. And so that's why they were a desire to do that. So they didn't have any feeling. And again, right off, we can see why the poor feelings of today. People wouldn't want to hear about repenting, or they'd like to hear about how what good they'd done and how they'd been a good people in their feelings towards the Lamanites. And again, so his preaching was not to point the finger either at the Lamanites and say, oh, look how wicked they are, don't be like them. It was to talk to them and tell them how to correct more of their weaknesses so that they might be perfect and be able to live with Jesus forever. Well, in verse 16, then he exhorts the people of Limhi to remember the Lord and remember that it was the Lord who had delivered them. Because again, remember how the people of Limhi, we saw, they continued to want to figure out how to do it themselves and how they could arm themselves and how they took their property with them. And they weren't quick to thank the Lord. Remember, when they left, there was no mention that they thanked the Lord, and here we learn that they didn't. So they weren't single on the Lord, and they had a lot of work to do. And so he goes right out there and he begins to start telling them what they need to repent of. And so the point here is not only to tell them, we saw that his message to the people was telling them how to repent, and that's not what we want to hear today. Well, the people of Limhi listened. That shows that right off what we have, that is the hardest step of repentance again, is to listen and believe and then desire to repent. But to hear your faults and say, yes, I have faults and I want to get them corrected and I don't mind if the people in public or anything talk about my faults, if that is going to help me to understand them so that I can repent, I don't care about what anybody else thinks. What I care about is learning what the Lord needs me to do to improve myself and to repent. So therefore, they did want to repent and wanted to follow the Lord, and therefore they now wanted to be baptized. And then it says that when they're baptized, they become members of the church. And now again, do they focus on the baptism of the members of the church as we do today? No. Why did they do this? Because they believed the words of Alma. See, the reason they were being baptized and becoming members of church was because of their faith and their belief in the Lord that Alma had taught them. Not their belief in Alma, their belief in the words, which were the words of God. And we've seen that already stated many times, that the words of the prophets and even the teachers are all just the words of God. And they have a responsibility to get them from God. And we saw that Alma did this. So the point still is, not having to repeat that so often, but it does seem like it's difficult in the face of the way the church is today, that we still have to remember that it's due to faith in the Lord and faith in the words that he gives us and understanding him and wanting to follow them is what is, and then our desire to continue to do that is why we are baptized and why we become members of the churches. And again, it'll go on to say more about these churches, meaning that in verse 19 it tells Messiah to go out there and establish churches with priests and teachers over each. And I'd like to stress and remember that these were churches. These were separate churches. And you must remember that, because that when you then begin to learn about Alma and Alma the Younger and the things they do when they go out to preach to these, you will begin to see that these were separate churches and they had, each of them had their own administration, and they were separate churches. And the point of that is that will become clear as we're studying later on in the Book of Mormon. But for us today, what we're really to say, the important thing is that these churches were like a stake today, meaning a church then was like a stake today, but the stake was supposed to be ran separate. And again, if you look in the Doctrine and Covenants, you'll see that each stake, when running properly, was its own entity, was its own church, and obviously the prophet and the 12 apostles were to travel around and help these stakes, but the stakes were their own church. And again, we begin to see some of the infiltration of man's ways and the worldly or Babylonian bureaucracy that immediately began to creep into the Mormon church and take it over. But if they're just forming churches now, we have to ask ourselves, well, what was before this? Well, what was before this was, as we saw, that like King Benjamin, they were taught in the temple, and they were taught the things they were to do, and remember, they were still doing sacrifices and things, and they did this in their groups, but the churches were, but see, in a sense, they didn't need churches. And we have to say, why didn't they need churches? Where did they do that? Do their baptisms, or in that case, their sacrificing? And where did they do these kind of things? Well, they did that amongst themselves and in their families and in their groups. Because, see, the problem with the church today is it's taking control of everything. See, the church wants to control all of the ordinances and everything so that it becomes church first, and they have the complete domination of that. And they have this idea that if they control all the ordinances and all the performances, that then they can control your life, and that therefore you have to come to them in order to come to the Lord. And it's the way man slowly degenerates into taking control or replacing Jesus with themselves. And we're not to follow them; we're to follow Christ. And we're done this with a free and open organization. And that's the way it was here, and that's the way it always has been. It's our singleness to the eye of Christ that unites us. But now notice again, as I say in verses 20 through 21, what did these churches do? Well, they preached and teached. There they taught. The purpose of the church was to teach. It was not to control and to organize and tell everybody what performances they had to do and tell you when and where each ordinance was to be done and so on and so forth. All ordinances were done in the early church because people followed the Lord and they were doing this to the Lord. They weren't doing the ordinances to the church or to the leaders of the church. And we have to figure out that ordering. Now, what we're supposed to do about today is not given because we haven't followed the direction. But nonetheless, the main point here is why did we have a church? What was the main purpose of the church? It was to teach the people the Word of God so that they might get a understanding of it. So there was a free flow of the Word, and there was a free acceptance of the Word of God. And that's what the purpose of the church was. And you can see, obviously, that is not the purpose of the church today. Now, it says in verse 22 that they were united in that they preached nothing but repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what united them. Their singleness to the Lord. Well, the very idea that you can be united based on this faith is be united based on that. It requires faith in itself. So, do we believe that today? No, we lack faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have to have all these strong controls and all this big bureaucracy in the church in order to control us in a physical means. So therefore, we create this physical structure, we create a physical list of performances that have to be done, and we do this so that we can say, see, yes, we're united, we're all doing the same thing. But see, it's all superficial. The way that they wanted, they were united in the Book of Mormon, they were united in the Spirit, and because they all followed the same Lord, obviously the Lord was going to teach each of them to do the same thing and to progress in the same manner, so they were united. But again, one church, its sins and problems of their people, like the people of Limhi, was a lot different than the people of Alma. Alma's people had already lost their desire for material wealth and things, and they'd lost their desire for... And they believed that the Lord was governing their lives. The people of Limhi had not. And so they joined a church according to their needs. The churches were organized in that manner so they could take care of the needs of the members, not the needs of the bureaucracy of the church. And again, when they organized here, there was no mention of a great big bureaucracy. The only place where we hear about bureaucracy is in Babylon in the world. And the church has become so entangled with the world that it's picked up all its stinking ways. Again, our leader is Jesus Christ, and we believe that if we all worship and follow him and we all have our heart on learning more about him, then he will deliver us his word. And if he delivers his word through priests, teachers, and prophets, then that's fine. But it'll be his word. It will not be the words of the priests, teachers, and prophets as today, where men gather together in the churches and they preach their own precepts, and each man teaches his own says his own wonderful thing in the talks, because they don't have the faith that we can go to the Scripture and study Scripture, and that the Scripture can actually have information in it that applies to our day. And how do we get that information out of Scripture and apply it to our day? We have to use the Spirit. We have to depend on the Spirit. We have to be in touch with the Spirit in order for it to magnify and enlighten those Scriptures to us. But mostly the Scripture today, meaning the Book of Mormon, is a great condemnation of the Mormon Church. So obviously they don't want to listen to the Book of Mormon. And obviously they're under great condemnation. And that's what the present prophet Spencer W. Kimball has said. But not a single general authority or single leader of the church is willing to follow the prophet or the Lord. So that's why we're in this state today. And obviously they don't want to agree to that, and obviously they don't want to repent, or they don't want to believe that, or they don't want to, and which means they don't want to have their eyes single to the Lord. And do any of them have their eyes single to the Lord? Does any of them testify to that? Does any of them testify that they receive the Spirit of the Lord, and that they are talking directly for Him, and they know that they're preaching exactly His words to you because they've been delivered to them? Do they talk in this manner? When the 12 apostles say they're the special witnesses of the Lord, do they say that they have seen the Lord, that they have that they know the Lord? They don't have to even say they've seen Him, but they say they know the Lord? No, they don't. They don't say they know Him, but that's a requirement. It's made it clear in Scripture, and we go through this over and over, but everything's based on a bureaucracy. It's not based on, let us just teach the people the proper principles. Now we're starting to sound a little bit like Brigham Young and Joseph Smith. If we teach the proper principles, they can rule themselves. That means personally they can rule themselves. We don't have to rule and dominate them with our organization. And here it's the same thing here. They just preach the Word of God to them. They taught them how to repent, all the various and diverse ways that sin can take them, and therefore the diverse ways that they need to work to overcome this sin, and all the aspects of developing their character. And they taught them these things, and then the people continue to work because it was a lifetime work, and their lifetime was a preparation to meet God, and their eye was single on the Lord, and so they spent their life working to go back to their Lord. They did not spend their life with any focus or thought at all concerning this world, and as we do today. So therefore, these people, they were single on the Lord, and it says finally in verse 24, they prospered in the church. And again, most of this commentary on this, if you read verses 20 through 23 and see what the simpleness of their structuring of the church, you'll see that everything I have said is in total agreement with what they've said, and the only reason there's a lot of talk and complexity is due to the complexity of the church today, which is the wickedness that has been added to it by man. And that's all I'm pointing out, because it was not in the original church.